Hello. My name is Gina Arenas. I'm here with my colleagues, Dan, Andreas, and Joan, to talk about the Microsoft Graph and the opportunities for developers to tap into data, insights, and rich relationships coming from Office and Azure Active Directory. This session is a two-part session. On the first 20 minutes, we're going to talk about how you can use the Microsoft Graph to reach data for both consumer and commercial services. So no longer you have to have different code bases if you want to your application to interact with OneDrive and OneDrive for Business, or with Outlook.com and an Exchange account. In the second part, we're going to talk about the Office Graph, which is the brain behind the Microsoft Graph, calculating rich insights and relationships between the data that we have sitting in Office 365 and Azure AD. With that, we're going to start with the first part. So with Microsoft Graph, you can tap into data that is coming from both consumer and commercial services. Imagine I build an app for the phone that can take my pictures and say, for example, if it is an expense report or an expense, you know, a receipt from an expense report, I can directly send it to my OneDrive for Business because that's my work account. Or send it over, if it is a picture of my kids, send it over to my OneDrive because that's just a personal thing. And have that be powered by the same code base, no if statements, right? No, if you're on consumer, do this. If you're in commercial, do that. You can do that with the Microsoft Graph, which we are announcing today that you can actually get access to consumer services. So in this session, we're gonna do a little bit of an introduction to what Microsoft Graph is. We're gonna show how you can access consumer and commercial services. Because this is a dev conference, we're gonna dive in right into the code, show you a demo of the thing working, building a universal app that goes into your OneDrive and your mail for both consumer and commercial. And then we're going to give you a call to action. This is for the first part. And then for the second part, we'll have more exciting content. So what is Microsoft Graph? Microsoft Graph is the API endpoint for data, insights, and relationships coming from Office and Azure. It's hosted at graph.microsoft.com and allows you to get access to data for users, groups, mail, calendar, contacts, files, notes, tasks, insights, and much more. Not only you can access the data, you can traverse the data on the API. So you can start from the profile of a user and using a simple navigation, go to that user's mailbox. Or use a simple navigation to go to that user's OneDrive. You can do this and traverse the data within multiple services using a single endpoint. And connect that data. So for example, I can do /drive/items to get to the data that is sitting in OneDrive. And then I get the metadata for that particular file and see who was the last person who modified that file and jump directly to their profile. So I'm connecting data that is sitting in multiple services through simple navigations on the API. The third thing is access to insights. As I mentioned before, we have the Office Graph that is the brain that calculates all of these relationships based on my activity on the service. So I can quickly tap into who are the people that I'm working with or who are some of the files that are trending around me just because I've seen them or because they've been presented to me on a meeting or because I've been collaborating with them on a particular project. And finally, it works for both school and work school accounts and personal accounts. So you can access all of the data. And when we say all of the data, it's all of the data for Microsoft Cloud Services, for Office 365, and Azure Active Directory. And all through a single endpoint in graph.microsoft.com. So this is how simple it is to start with graph.microsoft.com, the version of the API, and then navigate to all of the different things from that user. It allows you to build people-centric applications very easily and get access to that data and navigate through it. So I have here a set of examples of getting the files, getting the pictures, mail, calendar, contacts, notes, just through simple navigations on the API. Now I'm going to give it up to Dan, who's going to show you and going to go dive into this Visual Studio, and we're going to build a universal app that goes and taps into data from both consumer and commercial services.
Thank you, Yina. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Kershaw, work with Yina, and I'm going to show you how we're going to add some Microsoft Graph code to a universal Windows app. So first of all, I'm just going to set the scene here. This is the kind of sample that we're going to build. So I have a skeleton app, very simple, single-page universal web app, universal Windows app. And it's going to allow me to sign in with my identity. And then from there, once I'm signed in, I'm going to pick a contact from my list of contacts. I'm going to connect to my OneDrive and pick a OneDrive file to attach, and then I'm going to send a mail. So we're going to hook some of this up. And what we're going to show you is that I'm going to build a single app that accesses the same API, but now can get to multiple services for both consumer and commercial. So I can sign in with either a Microsoft account or a work or school account, a business account. So let's see what that looks like. OK, so I'm sitting in my app here, and I have a connect button, which is the one that you saw with the Microsoft icon on it. And this is going to call in to sign in current user. So in here, you can see some code that initializes a Graph service client. So what you saw previously that Yina presented was our REST API. We now have a client library, a .NET client library, that you can use to access all that rich information that we saw in that REST API to make your .NET app development simpler. So in here, I'm initializing a Graph client, and I'm providing a delegate authentication provider, which is basically going and acquiring an access token, i.e. it's doing a sign-in, and then associating that access token that I've acquired and making that the authentication header for the request and initializing the Graph client with that. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to add some code to actually use a Graph client. So let's just start out here. And go use the Graph client. And if I actually look at the things under Graph client here, let me see if I can zoom in, you can see that the Graph client actually exposes a whole bunch of different objects. And if you remember back to that great kind of like spider web map where the user is at the center and there are tentacles going out to lots of different resources, now you can see some of these things that are hanging off of the Graph client that you can now have access to in your app. So for example, if I pick users, I can make a request. And in here, I can do all kinds of things, like I can choose a filter. And I can create a filter that can do things like starts with search, that looks for all users that starts with the name Bob, for example. Or I can do a select statement, which gives me a projection of the data that gets returned. But I'm just going to do, I'm just going to go get that. So this will get me back, a collection of users in a page. And so the client library also provides me with a way to get page collections back and then page through those collections as well. What I'm actually going to do is go back here and just use the me construct. So the me construct is basically a shorthand for the signed in user. So in front of this, I'm just going to put some quick code that says, if the Graph client, check if the Graph client is actually initialized. OK. Okay, and now I'm going to set the display name, oops, which is a local variable, to the user's display name. And now you can see all the properties that are exposed by the user. And I can even get to other entities, like I can get to that user's messages and see their messages or their calendar events from here. But just for now, I'm just going to go get the display name, and I'm going to set that. And I'm going to return true because this user is signed in. Else, turn false. Okay. So this allows me to this bit of code allows me to sign in and get the user. I'm now also going to save that, and I'm going to go to the mail helper. And in the mail helper, I have something that's going to go get contacts. So in here, you can see above, I've got a similar piece of code that initializes the graph client. This time, it's initializing through a slightly different version of the acquired token that basically reaches into our token cache and extracts the token that may already be cached because the user's already signed in. So we have a session later today that Vittorio Bertocci is going to give, where he's going to dive a lot deeper into the authentication library here that's being used in this demo. So let's go and get a set of contacts here. And so again, I just use the graph client. I use the me construct. And I can go find the contacts and just do the request and get async. I've forgotten the await. And just return the contacts. What's gone wrong there? Sorry. Sorry, guys. I've forgotten the contacts. Contacts dot. And actually, I'm going to select a set of. So I'm going to use display name and email addresses. Come back. Let me see. Okay. Sorry about that. So I got back a page of a collection of pages of contacts. So I'm just going to get the current page, and I'm going to return that. So this gets returned back to a combo box that's going to display the set of current users, current contacts for the signed-in user. OK, so we're going to build the UWP app. Okay, let me just make that a bit bigger. Okay, so I'm going to sign in. First of all, I'm going to sign in with a business user. Okay, and so first of all, I'm going to get asked to consent to a series of permissions to access my data as part of using this app. So I'm going to accept. And now it's going off and it's calling in to... Sorry. I don't know where it's gone wrong. Maybe we should just switch out. I'm sorry. Sorry. Well, it's all integrated. I know why it's... Let me just... Sorry, guys, live demos. Should we move on to the office? Okay. The one thing I can show you is that, alternatively, I can log in with a consumer account as well. So here, again, I'm getting a consent dialog. This time, this is coming from the Microsoft account system. But unfortunately, I suspect it may fail in the same way. Okay. So what would have happened is we would have got back a set of files and a set of contacts. And for each of those, we'd have been able to pick one of those things and click send in the app. And when we click send, it would send a mail message. And it would work both for consumer and commercial accounts. So let me switch back to the deck. What I hope to have shown you, and so I apologize, was to be able to have a single app using the same API that accesses multiple services. And now it gets the reach of millions and millions more users. So not only can you attract users and reach users in organizational settings, but you can reach users in the consumer settings as well and reach millions more users for your application that you just write once to access those same same data, whether the user is a consumer user or a commercial user. So now I'm going to switch over to John and Andreas, who are going to talk about the rich relationships and insights in Microsoft Graph. Thank you.
Yep. Can you switch? Okay. So my name is Jon Meling, and with me in getting this microphone on is Andreas Eide. We're both program managers with Microsoft Development Center Norway. So we're come a long way to talk to you here tonight. We're also known as FAST, and we've been working with enterprise search for the last 20 years. And we were acquired by Microsoft in 2008. So we have search in SharePoint. For the last three releases, we have search in Exchange. And in 2012, we started to think about there are a lot of problems inside of an enterprise, and data is stored everywhere. So we had this idea of how can we connect the dots of an enterprise? How can we get to OneDrive? How can we get into email and find where people are actually working? And that sort of spun up the notion of an office graph. So we started code that in 2013. And now it's already in production. And we have it running. And we have sort of once or while developing this, we had problems to get people to understand what this really was about. So what we decided to do was to create an experience built only on top of Office Graph, and this is called Delve. And we will briefly show you Delve, but the most important part here is how the Office Graph works together to provide rich relationships and insights under the Microsoft Graph. So there's a strong connection between these two, and we want to show you how we work on that. So this is briefly what we will discuss. I will talk more in depth about the Office Graph, how we gather insights and all the signals that are coming in from the various workloads inside of Office 365. We will also talk about specifically about trending, and I will go into more detail about that, and attachments. And we will, of course, have demos. So we will expose the REST APIs that we are standing up through Microsoft Graph. And we will show you how you can use this to traverse the graph and get the information that you need. And last, we will give the word back to Gina, and so she can. So as I said, the Office Graph, we built this because we see that there are many silos inside of an organization. People have documents in OneDrive for Business. They have documents in groups and team sites. They have attachments living in their inbox in Exchange. So, and we have these other concepts of people. People are working together with people. People are working as part of groups. So all of these are entities inside of the Office Graph. So we listen to signals, and we want to understand how people are actually using documents. So if you go and edit a document, that is a signal that the Office Graph picks up. And then we connect these together using a relationship, and what we call a rich relationship that we will come to later on. And the really important part is that the Microsoft or the Office Graph connects the dots across the enterprise so that we can get a coherent view of what is going on inside of an enterprise. And it's really important we really take privacy very seriously. So we come from search, and we would never expose anything through the Microsoft Graph that you're not allowed to see. And there are different types of signals. A modifier signal is a public action. Anybody who has access to a document can see who has modified a document. But the view action is very private. Nobody should know that I have viewed a document. But we can use the mass of views and sort of abstract away who's actually using this and say, hey, 100 people in your organization has viewed this document. And since that is going on, we can use machine learning techniques to promote these into trending activities.
Okay, hey, I'm Andreas. So, as John said, we want to expose all the insights that surface in Delve today in Microsoft Graph. So Microsoft Graph is going to be the way for you to, as developers, to expose the same kind of rich functionality that you expose in Delve in your application. So things like trending files that you show in the Delve home view, you can show in your application. The way I like to think about Office Graph and Microsoft Graph is that Microsoft Graph is the unified API on top of the services. Microsoft Graph federates out and talks to all of these different services. Office Graph listens to all of these services. It listens to file modifications. Whenever someone uploads a file to OneDrive, modifies a file, sends an email, and have a group conversation, Office Graph listens to all those signals and will create rich relationships and insights. And these rich relationships will reference entities living in different services. So take the example of a file. If I'm sharing a file in my OneDrive on an email, I will have a rich relationship which refers to the file in OneDrive. It refers to the email in Exchange. It refers to users. And the natural way for us to expose those rich relationships is through the Microsoft Graph, which allows you to federate out and access all these different services. Another important thing that we're doing now as part of the Office Graph is that we're improving the Office Graph engine. So in Delve today, it can take up to an hour before a file shows up as trending or before an attachment shows up on the Delve homepage. We're now introducing the reactive analytics engine of Office Graph, which means that documents can trend in near real time, and attachments can show up in Delve immediately. So that's a brand new engine that we're rolling out now next quarter. We will talk a lot about relationships, rich relationships, and insights. I just want to briefly sort of describe the differences between these concepts. So Gina showed earlier that you can have a last modified by user navigation property from a file to a user. That's a direct navigation between one entity and another. And that's exposed in OData as a navigation property. So let's imagine that Jon, he's writing this really nice specification on attachments. He's modifying it and sharing it with Gina. And Gina then is then commenting and saving the file. Now, you know, Gina is the latest modifier of this file. But Jon also has modified this file. So we will have a rich relationship inside the Office Graph saying that Jon modified this file also yesterday at 3 p.m. So the Delve MRU view is powered from all of these modified rich relationships. So a rich relationship is exposed in OData as an entity, whereas a relationship itself is a direct navigation property. And then we also have this class of rich relationship that we call insights. So Jon and Gina are people I work very closely with. And the Office Graph understands that, and understands that when Jon has modified this file and Gina, it's probably interesting for me to know about this document. So this document will start trend around me, and I can discover this document in my dev applications, and now with this new API endpoint, you can provide this information to your users.
So let's take a brief look at Delve, so we can visualize some of the concepts that we've been talking about. There we go. So Delve is basically two things. Here you see the home page of Delve. This is the documents that you are allowed to see that is trending inside of your organization. And as you can see, we have email attachments there, and you have documents that are being modified and edited by all of your colleagues. And the Office Graph, we don't really care where it's stored, as long as there is communication or actions going on with those documents, we will pick it up and we will promote it to you. Now, if you go to the me page, this is a different set of eyes on Delve. And remember that if I go and visit Andreas' page in Delve, and you go and visit that same page, the documents you see here will be different, because some I have access to see and some you have access to see. So the set of data will be different based on the person viewing this page. Now, this is a very convenient way for him to get back to his recent documents. But down, if you go down, these are the documents that we call trending. Documents that are that we look at who you're working with, what documents they are working with, and based on these insights, we can promote this set of documents to you. And as I said, if another person goes to this page, that document set will be completely different. So this is the new profile page in Office 365. And it is being powered by Delve, and expect to see a lot of changes here. So we're really not here to talk about Delve, but it's a good way to illustrate some of the key points that we're talking about. Now we should turn our attention towards the APIs that we're standing up with Microsoft Graph and see how you can access this data yourself.
So if you want to show these trending documents that Jon just demonstrated in your application, we're standing up this new endpoint called Insights Trending. So that's an API endpoint I can call on me to get documents trending around me, or I can call it on Jon to get documents trending around Jon. When you call this API endpoint, you'll get a set of trending relationships back. So in this case, I have a trending file in a OneDrive that's returned as a rich relationship. And this relationship allows me also to navigate to the file in OneDrive in Microsoft Graph and get additional data about this file, or download the file, or delete the file, or do whatever. The trending relationship itself will return a set of metadata, like why is this file trending? In this case, the file is trending because Gina has modified the file, and Gina is a person I work closely with. It will return a weight, how is this ranked as opposed to the other files that I'm getting back, and we're using that to sort the documents based on relevancy. And in addition, we'll return a set of visualization properties that you can use to render user experience. You can do a single call to me, Insights Trending, and you get back all the metadata you need to render a compelling visual experience, just like Delve does, in a single API endpoint. And other entities will start trending as well. You have sites in SharePoint can trend, and you can recommend sites to users. And that will also show up in the me, Insights Trending API. OK, I think we'll do a demo. And as always, it's exciting with these demos because these bits are rolling out as we speak into our dog food environment. We have a 50% saturation, so every other call will hit a server where the bits are deployed, and every other call will hit a server where they're not deployed. So there is some chance that I will actually hit a bad server where it's not deployed. Please also notice that the first document here is called Build 2016 Session Plan. That's a top trending document around me at the moment. And now I can go to the Microsoft Graph using the Graph Explorer. And we can go to me. And now I get back a set of trending relationships. You see there's a weight. There's going to be the recent property here showing why the file is trending. And we get back a set of visualization properties. And you can see here I'm getting back the build session plan as the top one. And I have enough data here to visualize and render, for instance, a card in my experience or in your experience. You also get back here the navigation properties that are referencing the file in OneDrive. And you can use this property to navigate over to the file in OneDrive. So let me show you that. Let's first go to this guy. Now I'm getting back the trending relationship. And then I can do an expansion and go into the actual resource that's trending. And now you can see that I actually expanded into the drive item that is the file that is trending. And this is the OneDrive file representation of this file. And you can see that this file was last modified by Yina. And now you can imagine, I can then take and navigate further. I can then navigate to Yina. And then from Yina again, I can navigate to her trending documents. So this enables a true graph traversal of the information in your enterprise. Yeah.
All right. So now we've just shown you the trending relationships. We also have relationships for attachments. And we know that people do communicate a lot using email. A lot of you and me put classic attachments in there. Now we have made an API that where you can go and get those files out, find the conversations pertaining to those files. Later on, we'll bring to light also modern attachments and links found in email, and they will have multiple conversations pertaining them. So we already have this in Delve today. We have the API on its way out to Microsoft Graph. So maybe we can just show them how we can talk to this API endpoint.
So this API endpoint is still not rolled out to Microsoft Graph. So we have a preliminary API living inside Outlook. And this is now going to be also exposed in Microsoft Graph using the same way of exposing it. So you will have a visualization properties that you can use to visualize this attachments. So this is a preliminary API. It will change the API surface when it's exposed in Microsoft Graph. But you can see here that I'm getting back, if you go back to the Dell view, I had attachments. I had, if you go on the home feed.
Yep.
I have here an email from Gareth, and I have also an email, I believe, from Yina. And here you'll see that these two attachment files that are shared with me on email are returned in through this API call. It's maybe a bit hard to read, but I can maybe scroll it.
So the important bit here is that you can go from a file and find the conversations, basically the communications that's going around this file. And that's a really powerful tool. You imagine this being inside a Word. You can have the Word document. You can have all the conversations, wherever they're taking place, right besides that document. Those are the things that we can enable with this scenario. And you can build amazing experiences, I think, based on this communication and documents. It's a really strong connection between those two. So this sort of builds on the promise of Satya this morning, that communications as a platform, it might not only be spoken words, it's also written words. It's a lot of communication going on inside of email, on Skype, and etc. All right, so let's briefly take a look at the roadmap. As we said, we're bringing this to the Microsoft Graph API in Q2. So this is on this side of the summer. Later on, we were working with the SharePoint team to create trending sites inside of SharePoint Online. We're also looking at more rich relationships like modifies, favorites, and tags. You already find these in Dell. We will see them all over the suite. We're working to get ODB files and files referenced by a link in an email and bringing these in through the same API that you can get classic attachments today. You will also be able to get these files. And we'll also mine the same type of links and classic attachments from meeting invites. So With that, we'll hand it back to Yina.